is The Hollywood Outsider, a weekly movie and TV podcast, which can be found at thehollywoodoutsider.com. We have a new episode every Thursday. This is episode 179, and this week we are discussing upcoming releases, including Cinderella and Run All Night, or Taken 64, as it were, spoiler-free reviews of Focus, and we're finally going to discuss Best Picture winner Birdman. Our From the Outside In topic this week, nostalgia. Have we gone just a little bit too far? At the end of the show, we will discuss the passing of Leonard Nimoy. We're going to wait until the end of the show so we can still be jovial and insulting and not be slander the memory. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Latest movie and TV news, including our own trivia segments. My name is Aaron Peterson. And if I had to describe myself with a nostalgic character, obviously it's Indiana Jones.
Obviously.
My mom called me Illinois Pete when I was a kid, so... You know, it's just...
You do own a lot of leather and whips.
Also joining me this week are my fellow hoes. First up, I couldn't think of any positive, nostalgic characters with a southern drawl, but he does kind of remind me of Hannibal from the A-Team, Brian Williams.
Hannibal? Really?
Yeah, a little bit. You kind of got...
I would think more Murdoch, but all right.
Definitely. You do love it when a plan comes together.
Exactly.
Right? I do.
Yeah.
I do.
Definitely not face. If you've ever seen his picture, definitely not face.
Oh, God, man. It cuts so deep.
And also with his boyish charm and obvious mommy issues, Marty McFly suits our own Scotty Clark just fine. So how goes it, Scott?
Oh, it's going heavy, Doc.
Whoa.
Wrong actor, but okay.
Shaggy, a.k.a. Justin McCumber. Will be unable to join us. He's a little under the weather, so feel better, Justin. We hope you feel better.
Like, feel better, dude.
Zoinks. Remember to review us on iTunes, thumbs up on Stitcher, share with your friends, et cetera, et cetera. Is someone on a bouncy bed or something in the background? I feel like I hear somebody bouncing in the back.
I heard it, too, and I was wondering where it was coming from.
Brian, what are you doing?
I had it on mute, so it ain't me.
That means it's you, Scott.
There's nothing going on in my
one
room.
1 + 1 + 2 + 1 + 1 + 2
That's
plus
what your
one
wife said.
There's nothing. There's no action going on in my bed.
Nothing. You sure? Maybe you should check. Maybe that's when you're down here recording, and she's like, sweet, I got a minute. That's more than I usually get.
See, he's in there recording for 2 hours, so wow.
Mm-hmm. How many can I rip out?
You guys do know she listens, right?
She's clapping right
then
now.
She should know we busted her. Bam. We know what you're doing. We heard it. We got audio recording. Or it's going to show up in court. Bam. Sorry, Steph. Sorry. Scott's so quiet. He's like, I don't want to say anything.
I don't know how to proceed at this point.
What's everybody been doing? Anybody doing anything exciting?
I don't know if you heard, but I've been teaching.
Yeah, we heard. We hear every week. We got it.
Hey, our listeners are also teachers, apparently.
No, your listeners are also teachers, not ours.
Yeah, we've definitely got the teaching demographic down pat.
Yeah.
Let me tell you.
Oof. And if you want to know what that joke means, listen to last week's show. You'll hear all about Scott and his marvelous Teaching Coalition of America. let's get some movie news to get it started. How about this? Emma Watson's going to be Belle, and Luke Evans is now going to be Gaston in the Beauty and the Beast live-action remake. Huh? What do you think about that?
I'm more interested than I was before.
You sound like it. You sound extremely enthused right now.
Well, I wasn't chomping at the bit for it, so I can't.
Really? Well, because I figure we're going to talk about Cinderella shortly, and they're getting ready to do Beauty and the Beast. Are you on board with these live-action remakes of cartoons, or do you think this is something we really don't need?
I would lean more towards we don't need it. You know, it's one of those things to where I love my Disney cartoons from those mid-90s. And they're fine the way they are. I don't necessarily need a live action remake of it. And I really don't care who's in it. I mean, I love both of them, but, you know, and I'm sure it'll have some sort of a modern kind of a patina to it.
A what?
A what?
A patina.
What is the fuck? What is a patina?
Oh, God. Look, I'm not getting into all this.
This is where you miss Justin, because I don't know what you're talking about. I got no idea. Funky cold Medina? Because that I understand that.
A patina is like it's like when you buy something antique. It's all right. It's old, but it's got this maybe a specific type of coloring or effect to it. Metal, you know, if you, so anyway, look, I'm not getting too deep in this. Anyway, I don't want to say it's a modern version of it, but I'm sure it will be modernized enough to where it's relevant to our current times whenever this eventually comes out. So I'm sure it will be somewhat entertaining, but I'm not clamoring for a live action remake of any Disney movie.
Okay.
I don't care if it's Cinderella, Beauty and the Beast, Little Mermaid. I don't care. I don't need it. I love those properties for what they are and where they take me whenever I watch them, you know, because they take me to whatever it was I associated with from 20 years ago.
Singing teacups and crabs. Well, that's Little Mermaid. Hang on. Mm. I can't remember which one's which anymore. Be Our Guest. That's Beauty and the Beast.
That's Beauty and the Beast.
See, I know what I'm doing. Pfft, I got this.
Almost. You're close.
the crab is the Little Mermaid, I imagine, because water. I got it.
Oh, yeah.
The new Avengers trailer dropped. We're not going to talk about it because, seriously, how many of these stupid trailers are we going to talk about? This is like the third one, and every time the internet explodes for like a minute and they try to get you to watch it, and it's exciting. We all want to see it. Yay.
Dude, we're part of that problem. We posted it.
Hey, we're not here to talk about us, Scott. We're here to talk about everybody else.
Hey, don't point your finger, man.
Exactly. But I did want to bring that up because did you see AMC is doing, they do that movie marathon thing, AMC theaters?
Yeah.
In the U.S. I don't know if you have them. If not everybody that's listening will have an AMC near them. But
not everybody on this podcast has an AMC near them.
This is true. AMC theaters in the continental United States is doing a Marvel movie marathon where they're going to have like all 10 Marvel movies back to back to back over 24 hours.
That's insane.
Insane.
I only saw four theaters too.
They're not going to put it in everyone because you're going to have people stay overnight.
Yeah.
Jeez, man. That's a long time. Watch them at home.
I wouldn't even do that in my house. I wouldn't do that in my house for 11 movies in a row. There's just no way.
No, there's no way. No way.
No, I mean, part of that is you want to experience that with somebody. And there's not many people out there that I want in my house. I don't know, maybe just constantly focused on the TV screen with me for 24 hours or longer. Mm-hmm. Got to have breaks in there at some point. So
you should. You absolutely should. If you don't have breaks, you should see a doctor.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's how you get infections. All right. Good news, guys. We made the finals for best movies, films for the podcast awards.
Yay.
If I had like a soundboard, I'd do some applause. Brian?
I see what you did there.
So thanks to everybody that helped nominate us. There, all the information is on the website. I don't want to spend 4 hours going over this with you, but it's really easy. Go to pod. We need your vote to actually win the award. This year, we didn't really campaign much for it when we were nominated before. This year, we want to win the trophy. So you can vote once per day, per email. If you have 10 emails, use each email. It's greatly appreciated. All the details are at thehollywoodoutsider.com. You just go to podcastawards.com. Find movies, film, The Hollywood Outsider. Make sure you click that. Also, the podcast that I do with my friend Troy, The Blacklist Exposed, is also nominated for entertainment. How about that? Huh? How about a hand for Troy? He listens to this too. Nice job, Troy.
Samuel Jackson's excited.
Wow. That was a really low Samuel L. Jackson in the background. Apparently, Samuel is tired. He's just tired.
That's actually Ric Flair, but all right.
Is that who it is?
Yeah.
They sound the same. So if you could vote for us, greatly appreciated. You may have to verify your vote, so always check your email/spam folder after you submit. After you scroll all the way down, you fill out your information, they hit submit, because sometimes they do want to double check. They do that to make sure it's not bots, like it's not automated voting.
And also as a reminder, because I think some people might not be aware, you can vote within 24 hours.
Every 24 hours, yeah. It's every 24 hours.
From now until the 24th of March. So please, please vote often, every day. I think we had a listener post today. He actually had a sticky note on the monitor of his computer.
David McGrath. Thank you, David McGrath. Yeah.
That made my day. It was like, call Bob. It was something about something with Billy Zane, and then vote for the hose.
And
like his daily reminder.
Exactly. And D.H. Haney did a nice little print for us that we could share on Twitter. That was really appreciative. We appreciate everybody getting the word out. I know some of you shared the link, and I appreciate that. Steve, I saw you shared it. All that is appreciated. So please keep voting. We can go for 3 weeks, and we want to win this time, and we're up against the big boys. We're independent, so we need all the help we can get.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is great for one day, but we need, 21 days of this stuff?
Roughly. Yep.
Yeah.
Which means, Brian,
because we will probably remind you on our Facebook page or group at least once a day.
Yeah, so. And I'm really sorry if that gets old. We will try to make it really close proximity to something cool, though.
There you go.
Brian, make sure your wife actually votes. How about that, huh?
Working on it.
Speaking of Brian, you no longer have to give your password out for HBO because Scott sent me information that HBO Go has officially been priced at $15. Is that the right price point, you guys think?
I think it's, hey, 15 what, a month?
$15 a month. If you don't know what HBO Go is, it's basically you can get access to the app where you have all HBO content for $15 a month, and you can stream it like Netflix.
You compare it to Netflix, Hulu, stuff like that, it seems fairly high. But there is a lot of very good content on HBO. They had, I don't want to sound like I'm the commercial for them or anything, but
yeah, you kind of are. It's cool.
But look, I mean, let's face it. I pay for HBO. I've serviced you guys with HBO Go for years now. So
can we not use the word serviced? That'd be fine.
The point, it's, I don't want to say worth it. It's pushing the boundaries of being quote unquote worth it. But if I was to drop cable and it's March and I'm thinking, you know what? Game of Thrones kicks off in 3 or 4 weeks. I can see $15 a month for the next few months, but Game of Thrones aside, they do have a lot of good series. I love This Week with John Oliver.
So good.
Mm-hmm. It is such a good show. And there's a lot of other stuff on there too, but I would probably pay it. I hate to admit it, but I would probably, my knee jerk reaction is it's a little bit expensive, but I mean, that's kind of always been HBO's model for the last 30, 35 years.
I think $15 is completely fair to be honest. The TV series are great. There's so many TV series, but you're also forgetting that they get movies. They get the newer movies that Netflix doesn't.
Mm-hmm, that is true.
Divergent I just watched. I mean, I know that's not brand new, but that's a lot newer than or a lot higher profile than some of the newer things that they're getting on Netflix. So you're paying a premium with not only the newer movies, but also the newer series that you can watch almost as they air. So I think it's a perfectly fair price. An extra, $5-6?
Mm-hmm.
I'm this close to quitting cable again.
No, I mean, it's really an extra $15 because it's not something you've already been paying.
No, I mean, that's true. I mean, if you're going
to... Ooh, semantics. Let's
people,
do it. Yeah.
I'm looking at the people that are thinking that have Netflix and thinking, hey, I'd rather have HBO instead of Netflix. You know what I mean?
All right. Fair enough. I mean, if you're looking at to replace, one of your streaming services, then yeah, you're right. It's probably a little bit more. It's almost doubling depending on the service, I guess. But yeah, I mean, anywhere from $5-7 more or something like that.
This is possibly the lamest debate I've ever heard in my life. I'm going to sleep.
We said you're right. We both said you're right.
Yeah, just both say we concede and well, let's move on. How about that? Speaking of Netflix, I'm going to bounce around a little bit. Speaking of Netflix, they are trying to get into the Oscar race by buying an Idris Elba movie called Beasts of No Nation for $12 million, and they're planning an Oscar race. And now the theaters are saying that they are not going to allow the movie to play in theaters unless it has at least a 90-day window in the theaters. And so you got, once again, you've got Netflix having this little issue with theaters. But did anybody think that Netflix was going to be such a game changer? I mean, across all media.
I think we all expected them to be a game changer. I don't know if we expected them to be a game changer this fast.
Yep.
They're going crazy. They're all over the map.
It's one of those things to where we're like, okay, yes, streaming is a novelty at this point. And yes, we're getting movies on Netflix faster. And okay, now we've gotten a couple of shows. All right. But within the last, year? I mean, they've really just kind of shifted into fifth gear and just kind of really ramped this thing up, because I mean, it seems like they're adding a new series every month. We've got news like this with the Idris Elba movie coming out. And this is high quality stuff. So
where's all the money coming? I mean, I know that they charge $8 a month, but that seems like nothing for the kind of the kind of money they're throwing around. They're pushing cocaine.
You got banks and stuff, whatever. You're showing, hey, look,
they're in the drugs.
Here's what we've done.
They're in the drugs. I'm telling you. They're streaming.
How many people do you know that don't have a Netflix account of some kind?
Not many.
I could maybe think of two or three, and I know a lot of people.
They're streaming. Streaming heroin.
I think there's less. I mean, I think generally speaking, there's less than what you would imagine. In my circles, I don't know of a whole lot of. I mean, I do know of some, but I don't know of a whole lot of people that has it. Again, I live in South Georgia. We just got fax machines about 2 years ago. So,
are those working yet, or are they still like you got the hamster? Well,
five or six businesses around town still. We're using them pretty well, but the rest of them are still a little slow to catch on. They're still, they take your information with typewriters and ballpoint pens and those little card machines. You don't swipe your card anymore. It's the old paper thing with a thing they swipe back and forth.
Instagram is the sketch artist. Is that pretty much
right? Yeah. It's a sketch, basically.
hold still for a long time.
I messed up. Let me shake this pad real quick and twist the knobs again to make it, draw your picture again.
Oh, I hated that thing because, like, if you touched it, everything was gone. I once worked on a picture for about an hour and a half, and I bumped that thing with my leg, and that Etch-a-Sketch just erased everything. That's a horrible childhood memory.
That is a travesty, let me tell you.
It really is.
So anyway, at least again, and I'm speaking in this bubble that I live in, there's not a lot of people around here that do have Netflix. And I think a lot of people are aware of Netflix, but it's almost like maybe they let it expire, then they'll renew after a few months or something like that at best. But I'm one of the few people I know that keep a continuous subscription to Netflix.
Well, let's move on to something cool. How about Independence Day 2? I know we've all been waiting for it, right?
I have.
I know you have. That's why I'm going to go to you first. Welcome to Earth. Apparently, they are really making this thing. It wasn't just an internet joke, which I assumed. They have Jessica.
Really?
Yeah, they've got Jeff Goldblum. They got Liam Hemsworth, the non-busy Hemsworth, and Jesse Usher, who's not like the singer Usher, it's just his name, has been cast as Big Willie's sons in the sequel. So we're not going to have Will Smith. We're going to have somebody playing his son in the sequel. Scott, are you excited about this? Are you glad that the movie's finally moving forward?
Oh, yeah. I'm excited it's happened at all. I'm obviously a lot more optimistic than you were about when we talked about a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
I will say, I'm going to say the same thing I said in our Facebook group today. Look at the last sequel that Jeff Goldblum is in, where he was the only returning cast member, which was Jurassic Park Lost World.
I like that movie, though.
I enjoyed it.
Up until the very end, it was really good. Up until the stupid Godzilla moment.
See, I was in it up until the gymnastics thing to fight the raptors. That's where it lost me.
Why? Because you're jealous. You can't do like flips and all that stuff.
No, that was dumb. That was dumb. But this guy Jesse Usher was new to me. I had to do some research. I'm not personally familiar with him, but he's the star of a series on Starz called Survivor's Remorse, which yes is produced by LeBron James. That LeBron James. It's a basketball series. He's also got a movie coming in August called When the Game Stands Tall. It's about football. So he's got these two big sports properties under his belt. I haven't seen him act or anything, but hopefully he can pull off Will Smith's kid and because he's going to be the main character. But that's got to be a big get for him if that's his only role, two big things he's done.
Would you rather they just like left the Will Smith portion of the movie out of it completely as opposed to having somebody come in and try to be a new Will Smith?
No, that's like he's a hero.
But here's my thing. Either you have Will Smith or you don't, I guess is how I see it. So for me, this seems very Son of Mask, where you're jamming Jamie Kennedy in the Will Smith son's role. I mean, it doesn't work for me. It doesn't. If you don't have Will Smith, make something else that has no relation to him whatsoever.
Well, then how do you like write him out of the script and like just he
easy.
Died?
Easy. It's an ensemble movie.
Easy. Whatever. You know, he was used. He did whatever he did in Independence Day. That's fine. He's a consultant, you know, working at maybe overseas in Europe or something like that, helping them work out whatever issues they got. You can kill him off. You can do a lot of different things.
Nah, I like that angle. He was like the main, he's not the main character, but he was the one that went in there, and especially if you're going to have Jeff Goldblum in there, how are you going to have Jeff Goldblum's character and not have him reference Steve at all?
Well, it's very easy because Jeff Goldblum will do just about anything at this point. He is doing a commercial for apartments.com. Clearly, the man is hurting for money and just needs to get his face out there. So Independence Day 2 come on, he is dancing and singing to whatever God he believes in.
This I want to see more of him in the league as Ruxin's dad. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. This is where, and we're going to talk about nostalgia in a little while, but this is where I believe that nostalgia becomes a problem for a movie. They are trying too hard to bring back all the memories of the previous movie and this is just my opinion, and not focusing as much on how do we make this a movie for the now generation. I don't need somebody being Will Smith's character's son. If he can't be in it or he chooses not to be in it, give me a new character that has nothing to do with Will Smith. Because otherwise,
all I have to go on, man. But see, have you seen that movie recently?
No, but here's the thing. As long as you do that, if you've got somebody playing his son, the entire movie, I don't care if it's intentional or not, you're looking at him and comparing him to Will Smith. And that will take you out of that movie. I guarantee it.
Yep. What he said.
What happened to the kid that played his stepson or whatever in the movie? Remember the kid? He was also in Fresh Prince?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe he's probably selling bonbons. I don't know.
Whatever.
Working at a Wendy's, probably.
I'm just saying, would you have been happier with that?
Not really. I mean, I still
why
hold
connect
firm.
Why do you feel like you've got to have a... You're throwing a protagonist out here in the open in the front. You're saying that he's a son of this last one. It's you're trying to make another Will Smith. You're trying. Absolutely. You want this guy who's going, you're trying to create this guy with this swag that, let's face it. There's very few characters who's had more swag than Will Smith did in Independence Day.
That's true.
Very few.
You know how
you're trying to recreate that. You're trying to create that to bounce off the nerdiness of Jeff Goldblum. And he might do it. He might succeed. He may, you know, keeping an open mind here, he may be even more swaggerific than Will Smith. I'm keeping an open mind here.
Okay.
To your point, and I agree with it, you can't help but compare him. And he's going to have to blow Will Smith away for you to say, damn, this cat's pretty good. He's going to have to blow him out of the water.
He's going to have to, for those of us that grew up watching that movie or were 16, 17 when that movie came out like I was.
That's the only reason you do that.
Which is the people that's going to see Independence Day 2.
You think nobody in the current generation is going to go watch that movie just because they want to see a kick-ass
in a alien? In a country of over 300 million people, for me to say nobody that hasn't seen Independence Day 1 is not going to go see it is retarded. What I'm saying is that the reason why this movie is being made is because there are so many of us that love Independence Day.
Mm-hmm.
Why do we love Independence Day? Because Will Smith is a major part of that. So to be without him and to try to force somebody else upon us, like they've tried to force his shitty fucking acting son upon us.
Well, let's not make this a Jaden Smith. We go all day.
Poor,
poor Jaden.
But it's almost like, okay, well, we can't get Will Smith. We'll make this guy his son and put him in it and force him upon everybody else. Why? There's so many, there's the opportunities to take this franchise in so many different directions is just enormous. And if you can't get Will Smith, you can't even get him to make a small role to just hand the baton off to somebody else. Mm-hmm. Then why even worry about it? Leave it alone. Right. But why do we need this out of everybody else that's left on the planet? Why do we need Will Smith's son?
So what would you want from them? How would you want the script to go? Out of curiosity.
Forget him all. I don't care. Forget him altogether. If you want, if it is so important for you for his character, then make him, like I said, make him a consultant out of town. That way he's not dead. You've got the opportunity to bring him back later if contracts can be worked out.
And the character itself is really, you make an offhanded comment about where he's at or what he's doing in his life. And then Jesse Usher or whoever can play some other character that has nothing to do with Will Smith's character.
Yeah. Exactly. Just why even make him his son? If we're supposed to forget Will Smith, just like say, have him walk down a hall. There's a picture of, oh yeah, he's the guy that saved the day in the first movie. All right. Wow. Where's he at now? Well, you know, he's helping out our Russian counterparts over in the Ukraine. Well, which is, hey, let's face it, it's still Russia. They're trying to make it Russia.
Oddly specific, but anyway. But okay.
I would find that disappointing if I saw the movie.
Okay. I don't understand. Yeah. But let's move
I
on.
Would. Okay. I would rather have some tie to that character that I liked a lot from the movie than just like a quick, you know, screen grab or you know, brief mention and to just feel like, well, we had to put something in there with him.
Well, when it comes out, I want you to tell me if you thought of Will Smith the entire movie, because I'd be shocked if you don't.
Well, that's the point. You want to think of Will Smith the whole movie.
No, you don't. Not unless Will Smith's in it.
A movie that does not have Will Smith in it. You do not want to be thinking about Will Smith.
I want to watch a movie and just enjoy whatever's going on, not be like, man, I wish Will Smith did that joke. He'd be so much funnier. That's obviously Will Smith. That guy's just like Jamie Kennedy. That's what I'm going to be thinking. I can already feel it. Well, let's move on. God, there's so much other stuff to talk about. We've debated about Netflix. Woohoo! That's exciting. And then we just had a back and forth on some kid. I don't even know who the hell he is. Jesse Usher.
USHERRAYMOND.
Why don't they have Harry Connick? I mean, he's free. He's not. Was he on American Idol? Let's
kick the tires and light the fires, Spaghetti.
Jennifer Lawrence, who I love, and Steven Spielberg are teaming up to do a movie called It's What I Do about war photographer Lindsay Addario. Now, the reason I love this idea, Brian, is because that means Steven Spielberg can't helm some frickin' Indiana Jones movie that doesn't star Harrison Ford. So I'm extremely happy. Plus, these two together sound like magic. What you think?
Well, you're absolutely right. This does kind of tie up his time frame over the day, his window for the next couple of years or, you know, what have you. I've mentioned Steven Spielberg is one of my favorites, especially of the still working directors. Jennifer Lawrence is, well,
popular. She's popular. Just go with that.
Let's just put it that way.
Don't be creepy, Brian.
Oh, okay. So I'm creepy. You're just
obsessed. Yeah.
Obsessed. Yeah. But it is based on, it's the book. It's a memoir from Lindsay Addario. It's What I Do, A Photographer's Life of Love and War. I think they tried to get Natalie Portman for it. And even Margot Robbie, who's been popular since Wolf of Wall Street. And she's also in Focus with Will Smith. Mm-hmm. Hey.
Was that like a shout out? Who are you shouting out to? You're like, hey.
Hey, what's going on, girlfriend? I'm kind of burned out a little bit on the current war movies. I don't care how realistic they are. I've kind of had enough ever since Hurt Locker, all the way up through American Sniper. Not discounting how good they are. They are very good. I'm just kind of burned out on the movies that portray the realism of what's been going on over there. I think it's just one of those things to where I think there's enough news coverage, live news coverage, to where I've got an idea of what it's like over there. It sucks. I get it. And, mm-hmm. I don't need a 2-hour movie to kind of explain that to me.
What about you, Scott?
I feel your pain a little bit there with that I'm getting kind of burnt out on that, but I think this is the side of it that I haven't seen a whole lot of, and that's the journalism side of it that kind of gets me interested. Plus, how can you not be excited about that matchup between Steven Spielberg and an actress that we all really like quite a bit?
Love. I mean, that might be her another Oscar. I don't know. He's great. She's great. This seems great. I don't really see any. I think she's getting a little bit of backlash right now, though, because she's so popular and so many people rave about her. I mean, I'm starting to see, you know how when you want, God forbid you pay too much attention to the internet and you start to see that slow wave and everybody starts, I'm so sick of her. She's a horrible actress. That whole shift where people are getting anti-popularity and whatnot. I see that happening with her a little bit. And I worry about that. I think she might be putting out too much.
She's putting out too much. I need to get her number.
Wow.
Jeez.
And scene. I'm looking forward.
How's
to
that for lighten it up?
There you go. That'll lighten things up. Nice job, Scott. Let's move on to upcoming attractions. Brian, where would we find trailers if we had any this week? But we're not going to talk about Avengers Trailer 3 and all that happens in it. It's a pretty cool trailer. Go watch it, but we're not going to talk about it.
We don't even need any more trailers at this point.
Nope.
They'll make more. They will.
But
yep.
If you do want to watch it, you can check it out over at thehollywoodoutsider.com. Let us know what you think about it. Let us know what you think about maybe some other trailers or movie topics, TV topics, whatever you got going on out there. You can tweet us at @H_Outsider. Go on to facebook.com/thehollywoodoutsider. We've also got a page and a group. The group's a lot of fun. I think probably it's more attention than the page does at this point. Email us at feedback@thehollywoodoutsider.com.
We've got a couple of upcoming attractions. Both of these are coming out on March 13th. The first one is Run All Night. And this one I didn't hear about until this week when I first started seeing trailers for it.
Seriously?
I had never heard about it until I think two nights ago I saw this while I was watching Better Call Saul when the trailer came on. This looks like a lot of fun. This looks like a total cat and mouse movie. It stars Liam Neeson and Ed Harris as two head-to-head guys. Basically, Liam Neeson is an aging hitman. He was forced to take on his brutal former boss to protect his estranged son and his family. There's a lot of other actors in this that make this look a little bit more interesting for me. There's Joel Kinnaman. There's Common, Vincent D'Onofrio. I mean, this has all the makings of a great movie. Aaron, this seems right up your alley, especially being a fan of Liam Neeson. Is this something that you're going to run to the theater and see? Or?
No.
No.
No. No. God damn it, Liam Neeson. You got to do something different.
Bring us another Schindler's List, right?
Something, right? I mean, he was good in A Million Ways to Die in the West. I don't really care what the critics thought. I think, he's so capable of so much more, and he's stuck in this Jason Statham rut where, and don't get me wrong, I think if he hadn't done 47 other movies like this in the last 2 years, this would look really exciting. Well, because I've seen so many of them, and then I just saw Taken 3, which sucked. The idea of this one so soon after Taken 3 is just souring me on seeing it. Even though I actually think this will probably be very good based on, you know, some of the actors you mentioned, especially Ed Harris and D'Onofrio. But, man, I just can't get excited about it.
A little overkill on the Neeson?
A little bit.
The Taken Neeson. That's what we see every time. Mm-hmm. It's just a different version of Taken. And yeah, he was a badass. And that's why Taken worked so well, was because we haven't seen Liam Neeson in that type of role in a very long time, if not ever. And so to see every movie he does now, oh, it's another Liam Neeson movie. And to compare him with Jason Statham is very, you know, very appropriate, because that's what Jason Statham does. And he's got these, whatever, you tweak the plot just a little bit. Mm-hmm. And just,
it's this
just
time it's a cookie. Son, Brian. It's a yeah. son. It's not like Taken. It's my boy. See it's what I'm my saying? Son. It's different. It's the
he
same.
Wants to kill him? Oh, wait, no, I can't have that.
Mm-mm. Nope.
I feel pretty much the same way you guys do. This looks like it has the potential to be a really awesome movie with the whole cat and mouse dynamic. But at the same time, it's one of those perfect movies that I can't wait to watch on cable this fall. I have no drive to see it right away. And for the very reasons that you said, I just feel like we've seen the same story. I mean, even The Gray with Liam Neeson, which was different. It was just
a great movie.
It was a great movie, but it got kind of glossed over because it feels like people are just lashing on to, okay, Liam Neeson's back being an action star, an aged action star. Do something different, man. Do a drama. Do a comedy. Do something where we see some heart from you. We get that you're a badass, an old badass, but do something different. I do got to give one quick shout out though, because the character that Ed Harris is playing is named Sean McGuire, and we have a listener by the exact same name. So I'm pretty certain that he's going to be seeing this in the theater just by default. But
I hope it's as cool as that.
I hope so too.
I hope he's as cool as that. I should say. I want to see it, and don't get me wrong, I probably will see it because I'm contractually obligated to see Liam Neeson movies, mm-hmm. but I am getting really tired. Really, really, really tired. I'm actually more excited about the next movie.
Well, the next movie we got is Cinderella, which is going back to our remakes of classic fairy tale and or Disney films. This one stars Cate Blanchett, Lily James, Haley Atwell, and Helena Bonham Carter as the fairy godmother. It's a live-action retelling of the classic fairy tale about a servant stepdaughter who wins the heart of a prince. We all know this story. Brian, I'm going to pass this one to you just by default because I already gave the other one to Aaron, but is this one sure. that you're stoked to see?
You know, when the trailer first came out, there was I saw a lot of people on, whether it was Twitter or Facebook, whatever the case was, that were getting pretty excited about it. And I really wasn't too thrilled about it. But I've watched the trailer a few times since then, and it is growing on me.
Yeah.
I did see Into the Woods, which I was not happy about. So I've got that bitter taste in my mouth. And
well, there's no while singing in this one.
Right. I realize this is not a musical. I do realize that. It still makes me a little gun shy.
Okay.
I mean, but that being said, it does look like a quality movie. It does look like it looks beautiful. The cast is phenomenal, and it's got Robb Stark. So
yeah,
you know, obviously he's not. Ooh, never mind.
What did you say?
Nothing. He said he didn't say anything.
Oh, okay. I guess I'm gonna have to listen to it when the show comes out. Now I'm you son of a bitch. I can't wait to see this. This looks, I think, just a beautiful story retold. I watched Cinderella with my daughter a lot when she was little. So for me, I just love the story. I have no doubt that Disney is not going to remake their own cartoon and do it poorly, because mm-hmm. that's a property that could really be damaged from a bad remake. So everybody that's in the movie, especially Haley Atwell, I didn't know she was in it. So now I'm in line now. I'm already there. I can't wait.
Recording from the line of the theater.
I am actually in line right now in my glass slippers going to see this movie. Yeah.
I'm actually with you.
Are you wearing pumps? What are you wearing?
I'm not. pump glass slippers. Yeah. It looks really good. And I mean, if you would have told me like a year ago that I was going to be more pumped to see a Cinderella movie over an action movie starring Liam Neeson, I would have kicked myself in the nuts. But it looks really well done. This is like the epitome of the movie that I wish so bad that I had, you know, like a young daughter or a niece or something that I could go take this to and let her dress up like a princess and go take her to see it. And just that kind of stuff just sounds super awesome to me, but I don't. So I'm going to be stuck seeing with Aaron instead.
I'll dress up like a princess if you're open to it.
That won't be the first time.
Mm-mm. Nope. I don't have a problem with it. And if you try to borrow someone else's kid, it's a little dicey.
Then it's creepy.
Yeah, a little bit. Just a little bit. Mm-hmm. Especially when you come in and, hey, can she put on a princess outfit? don't ask me why. It's Cinderella. It's very important to me. Yeah, please. Can she, does she have glass slippers? Oh, yeah, that's what I like. Yeah. See? Just gets awkward. Definitely want to see it. Can we move on? Because I feel like
now I'm having flashbacks of that scene in Fight Club where Helena Bonham Carter, who's in this movie, is.
No, move on. Move on. Don't even say it. Pick of the week.
We're going to go on to box office.
No,
we're gonna
pick,
pass
of,
it up to...
pick of the week. Pick of the week.
Oh, sorry.
It's all right.
Got to put that shit
the
in.
First time. Yeah, it's the first time we've ever done the upcoming attraction.
It is there, in there. It says pick of the week. Right there.
No, but you got to put it after the bottom of it. So
only if you're Anchorman do I need to put it there at the bottom. So.
Shut up.
Come on, Brick.
All right, so if these two films are the only ones that are available on March 13th, which one are you more likely to see? Brian?
Cinderella.
Aaron?
Well, Brick, I think Cinderella as well.
Let's make it a clean sweep. We're all going to be seeing Cinderella in her fancy princess dress instead of Liam Neeson kicking ass and taking names.
Now, if Liam Neeson would wear a princess dress, I would see his movie instead.
Well, that sounds more interesting, honestly.
Says a lot about you, Chief.
Let's go. It does not in any shape, form, or fashion sound any more. No.
Yeah.
I know you're being funny, but no, it does not.
Let's go to box office, Brian.
All right. Well, the Will Smith-led Focus got jiggy with it this weekend to the tune of $18 million plus, while Kingsman was no Jazzy Jeff himself with almost $12 million. And look, might I add on a side note here, Kingsman seems to kind of hold the number two spot just about every single week.
It's been holding pretty well, yeah.
I mean, it's not been, I think technically at this point it's making an official profit, but
it's fun. You know, I mean, it's a really fun
movie.
It
is fun. Mm-hmm. And golly, go see this movie.
Please.
If Run All Night or Cinderella isn't maybe your thing, this is a fantastic time to go to watch Kingsman. All three of us, and probably Justin too, even admit, just says, you know, hey, go see this fucking movie. So let's go here. SpongeBob was third with a spongy $10.8 million. And the black suit's coming with 50 Shades of Grey, trying to avoid autoerotic asphyxiation with another $10 million plus. And the Lazarus Effect may look like it's gone the way of the Wild Wild West at barely crossing over $10 million and was, by all accounts, pretty much a flop. But
flop? It made $7 million.
That's where I was going. Is what people don't realize is that the movie, it only took a little over $3 million to make it. So while it may not have the $50 million weekend that some people, you know, probably hold it up to that kind of a standard, it's making a profit.
As of right now, it's made more money than Kingsman.
I don't want to give you a movie economics class. But there is prints and advertising, so there's a lot more money. Right. It's not just $3
million. Yeah, no, absolutely. I know that our whatever budget numbers are not factoring in all the hype and all that stuff. But at this point, it's got to be making a movie at this point.
Making a
or
movie,
gotta be making money at this point.
Yeah,
making a money.
It already made a movie. It's out.
Still, for to make the movie for $3 million, So I'm sorry. At this point, it's got to be making money.
Okay. What's this movie?
How much money have they spent on marketing?
Son of a bitch. I don't know. I don't have the fucking totals.
Well, you're very condescending with your, okay. So I figured you were prepared with some kind of numbers to call me a, you know, retard.
I don't need to. I think you should know that on your own. You said retarded twice. Retard twice in one podcast, Brian. Come on. Think of the little people.
Man, there are so many other words you could have chosen.
Like handy capable.
Mexicant.
What's this movie?
What's this movie? Each week we play ours or a listener suggests a clip from a movie. And if you think you know what the clip is, email us at feedback@thehollywoodoutsider.com. And next week we'll give you a proper host shout out. Last week's answer was Brian's pick. And what was your pick, Brian?
Remo Williams.
The Adventure Begins. It never went any further. It was just poor old Remo. It was kind of sad. And those that got it correct were Joseph Herring, Craig Schermerhorn, and Robert John Davenport. Congratulations, guys. You got that one right. This week it is my turn, and because of certain circumstances, I'm going to play one that you'll probably know pretty quick. That's okay. Sometimes you just have to. Here's your clip.
I never took the Kobayashi Maru test. Until now. What do you think of my solution? Spock. I have been, and always shall be, your friend.
Okay, now before I review Focus, Brian and I had the pleasure to review Birdman. That's the Best Picture winner. It's now on Blu-ray. Thanks, Brian. Blu-ray and home video.
That was Scott?
It was a great bird. It's a great bird. Wally Kulik won the contest for fantasy football, and the movie he wanted to review was Birdman, which was time perfect because it just won Best Picture, just hit home video. So Brian and I sat down with him and reviewed this movie. So we're going to play that for you now. Here you go. Here's our review, spoiler-free, of Birdman. Well, we are here with Wally Kulik. Did I pronounce it right? Is it Kulik or Kulik?
Oh, Kulik. You were right.
Oh, sweet. I got one right, Brian. Wally,
it's about time.
It is. It happens every now and again. Wally won our fantasy football contest from earlier this year. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You don't seem very happy about it. He got third place, but
you guys keep saying I won, but I didn't in my mind, so that's the hang up there.
Hey, you won with the contest. That's all that matters, right?
This is true, so I'll take it.
And the winner basically gets to come on and do a review with us. I don't know if that's really a get. I guess that's kind of a penance, I would call it. Well, the movie Wally chose was Birdman, which won Best Picture at this year's Oscars. And I'll be real quick. For those that don't know what Birdman is, Birdman stars Michael Keaton as an actor who's having a hell of a time trying to resuscitate his career. He ends up trying to put together this play. And throughout the movie, you see things play out where he hears his former character of Birdman, which is kind of, for me, it seems like a synonym for Batman. And he hears a voice in his head and kind of trying to find out whether or not these voices are real. Is it in his head? Will he resurrect his career? Where's it going to go from here? Very artistic movie, very detail-oriented. So, Wally, you can go first. Since it got Best Picture, what did you think about the story?
I thought the story itself was... It really didn't go anywhere for the whole movie for me. Besides being distracted by the camera work and the constant drumming, the story didn't seem to move at a very good pace at all, and really didn't progress much throughout the whole movie.
Now, Brian, you kind of felt the same, right?
Yeah, I thought, it was one of those things to where it was almost just like they just kind of made a play into a movie. And which is fine. I think I was at probably the disadvantage of catching it so late after all the hype. I think I probably would have appreciated it more. As objective as I was trying to be, it went along and you followed characters, but it didn't really follow a story. It felt like somewhat.
It seemed more artistic than story-driven, if that makes sense. This seems more like one of those movies that's about performances, it's about camera work, it's about acting. It's not so much about, look at this fantastic story we're telling. Wow, aren't you blown away?
It felt to me like it was like an inside joke for actors that I didn't get.
Which is why it won Best Picture.
At certain points.
Okay, so we kind of agree that the story is a little light. What did you think about the acting, since it's about actors? Wally, what did you think about the actors? Do you think Michael Keaton was robbed of an Oscar? Do you think Edward Norton should have gotten out? Did you think the acting was above average?
I thought the acting was done well, honestly. I don't think Keaton was robbed by any means. But I thought, you know, they all did a good job, and I thought Emma Stone was fantastic.
Oh, Emma Stone?
Yeah, I thought she was really good in it. I wish that Zach Galifianakis would have had like more of a role, because he thought he played his part very well, but it was just very limited.
That's a good point. Zach Galifianakis is probably my favorite part of the movie, because I didn't see him coming at all.
In what way?
I didn't think he was capable of that.
Yeah, exactly in the same way that Wally just said it. I didn't think he was capable. I guess maybe I'm stuck on Hangover. You know, that's all I really have seen him in. So maybe True Calling. I remember watching him in True Calling like years ago, but that's about it. Brian, what about you? Who blew you away?
I was really drawn to Naomi Watts in this one more than I have been in some of her usual roles. I was impressed with Edward Norton. It's some of the finest acting I've seen from him in a long time. So although it was kind of bittersweet because all the best parts that he was in, I've seen clips of over the last 2 or 3 months. So yeah, it's like, oh, this is that part. Oh, okay. Well, this is that part. Oh, wait, that one's probably coming up. But I thought this was, I mean, acting wise, I think this was one of his better roles. And I kind of enjoyed hating him as, not really hate, that was kind of a strong word, or disliking him as a kind of a douchebag. I don't know if any of them were robbed of any awards, but they definitely stood out for sure.
Does anybody think that maybe Edward Norton, like the whole time I'm watching this movie, all I kept thinking was, this is how Edward Norton really is in real life.
I'll tell you what, recently, three or four weeks ago, PBS had some sort of actors, like Inside the Actor Studio type show on. And it had actors interviewing other actors. And what was supposed to be a conversation between the two, it was Edward Norton and Benedict Cumberbatch.
Mm.
And BC barely got any words in at all.
Really?
Edward Norton just kept rambling about himself. And, you know, and then he would ask Benedict a question and then cut him off and then go off into another tangent about his whatever situation he had going on. And it became, you know, what was a 10-minute segment out of this show because they had multiple pairs. I'm obviously an unabashed Benedict Cumberbatch fan.
A little
bit.
No
bones about it. I fly that flag high.
Like it was a pirate ship.
But I was just thinking, golly, what an asshole. That's all I kept thinking. The whole segment was just Edward Norton is kind of an asshole here.
I think that's why he got the nomination, because everybody working with him was like, yeah, that's him. Mm-hmm. Wally, what did you think?
Deserves it.
Yeah, he does deserve it. Wally, what did you think about the production in terms of the directing? A lot has been made about the direction in the movie. What did you think about that? Because that is a high point to the movie, is the style, how it's almost like a single take, even though the timelines vary. And, you know, we go throughout time. Actually, time elapses. People keep saying that it's like a single take, acting like it's done at the same time. But actually, the story bounces around time quite a bit.
Yeah, I thought, I mean, I'm not a fan of the camera work at all. I didn't like the, you know, the one, like you just said, you know, the one shot, one take, the cold thing. But you know, I did like, one thing they did show was like a lot of the backstage stuff in the theater, which I thought was pretty neat that they showed a lot of that.
Oh, like the backstage, setting everything up, seeing what it looks like for us.
Yeah, it's kind of like an inside look at that kind of thing that you don't normally see.
See, this is one of the things that I did like about the show, because it was different. And I respect the fact that these longer shots, now I know that it wasn't all filmed in one complete take. And I know that it wasn't complete, you know, filmed in just three or four takes, but it really felt like it was only, you know, maybe five or six, you know, just long takes there. And I like that feeling. I mean, I thought that was really neat because in the back of my head, I'm going, golly, this is, there's a lot of lines to remember here. Nowadays, it's just, hey, just say these two or three lines. We'll set up the cameras in a different angle. We'll finish this, you know, this conversation, you know, after we're done setting up. You don't even have to know whatever conversation it is because you've got an hour and a half or 2 hours till they set, you know, get everything set up to memorize your lines,
mm-hmm.
you know, all three of them. So, you know, so in this case, you know, there's been a couple of movies where I think they're like foreign directors, European guys that have shot full length feature movies in one shot. And that just blows my mind. And to have these extended shots. Now, again, I don't know to how extended they are. It may not be as much as I think it is, but it really looked like a lot of these scenes were very long. So to have that, to make everybody hit their mark, get the tone that the director's looking for, say their lines properly with all the other little minutia, mm-hmm. all of that go on at the same time and well enough for the director to say, cut, print, next scene. That's amazing.
I'm of the mindset, director Alejandro Iñárritu, I hope I said that right. I'm sure I didn't.
Sure.
Yeah. Sounds good. But
I'm not going to beat you up on that one.
One for two.
I love the direction of it. I think it's one of the more artistic movies I've seen in a long time. I'm not saying it's one of the best movies I've seen in a long time. I definitely don't think it deserved Best Picture, personal opinion. But in terms of watching it from an artistic perspective, I totally get it. But when the movie was over, all I kept thinking was, this movie won because it's all about actors. That's really what I thought. I mean, I'm not saying it's a bad, I think it's a good movie. I really do. But at the end of it, that's what I kept thinking. I'm like, this won because it's all about them. You know, it's a room full of egos and they're ego-driven right. flick.
Right, yeah.
Well, so Wally, if you sum it all up, what would you, if $10 is the full price of admission, what do you give Birdman?
I'd say $7 for me.
So you did like it.
As much as I disliked it, I appreciate what they were trying to do and what the actors were able to do. I just personally didn't like the story. But I liked you know, I liked a lot of it. I'd recommend seeing it.
Now, what do you think about, and don't spoil anything, obviously we don't do spoilers here, but the way it ended, kind of a twisted kind of ending, were you okay with that? Or I know it's tricky to even...
Yeah, it was a little strange. Yeah, I'd say I was satisfied with it. Let's just leave it at that.
Okay. Brian, what about you? What's your verdict?
I have to agree with Wally. I'd give it a 7 also. I thought it it was weak on story and probably didn't move as fast of a pace as what I would have probably hoped. I thought overall the acting was good. I had liked the interesting camera angles and the long shots and the huge credit amount to the director. So, I mean, I'd give it a 7. You will be entertained by it. I don't know if you will love it, but you will be entertained by it. And that's really what we're here for.
Absolutely. I liked it a little bit more, I think, than you guys. Not much more. I don't think it deserve Best Picture, but I totally get why it won. If $10 is the full price for admission, I give it $8. And I will tell you, 80% of that is probably because of the style choices and the actual acting, because I thought story-wise, there is no story. I mean, it's pretty basic. It's pretty bland. But it looks beautiful, and I never got bored. I never got disinterested. So I liked it quite a bit. Well, Wally, are you ready to do fantasy football again next year?
I'm already doing my drafts.
Shit, man.
Yes, I'm very ready.
Are you really? You're already. I mean, we don't even know who's going to play you.
No, I'm just kidding. Of course, I'm not doing any mock drafts yet. I got to wait and see where everybody lands.
Well, I don't know if it's a joke because Brian would—he's probably already working on his.
Nope,
I wait till after the draft.
You at least wait until the draft's finished.
Yeah.
Thanks, man. I appreciate you coming on for the show. I hope it was worth it for you. We'll clean all this up so you sound pretty. And
thank you. Well, thanks, guys, for having me on. Oh, I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Wally, man. Thanks for coming by, man. I appreciate you taking the time.
Thanks for coming.
All right. Yeah, I'm glad you made the storm, Brad. Have a good week, boys.
Thank you. All right. Take care, man. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Wally.
Bye.
Okay. Now, Focus. I saw Focus. That was the movie with, well, it still is, the movie with Will Smith, where he stars as Nicky, who's a grifter. He kind of coasts in and out of various cities, always on the prowl for more cons. He meets Jess, who's played by Margot Robbie, who is gorgeous, and he takes her under his wing. The two end up falling in love because they're both gorgeous people. But being con artists, it kind of takes a toll on their relationship because it's kind of hard to trust people that you know will rob you, right? Anyway, the film follows a series of cons and how Nicky and Jess's relationship is impacted because of it. That's really all I can say on the plot, because this is one of the rare movies where the marketing department has actually done a really good job of keeping the details out of the trailer. Like, I had no idea what was going on walking into the movie, and I wasn't really tipped by the trailer at all throughout the movie, which I was so thrilled about. Will Smith, smooth as ever. I think he's a little bit more serious here than his characters have been in the past. But when I talk about charisma, and I talk about it a lot, there are very few actors that I think exude as much charisma as Will Smith. And he he rarely fails to impress me. Margot Robbie, and that's one, Scott, you've talked her up a lot from Wolf of Wall Street.
Right? Yeah, I really wanted to see her more.
She is amazing. And I can barely take my eyes off her the entire movie. And it's not because she's pretty. It's not in that creepy, I want to hang out with you naked kind of way. It's, I'm watching a movie star in the making. Every time I see her, she just sucks me in. I don't know. It's just something about her.
That's how I felt when I saw Wolf of Wall Street. So I'm right there with you.
Yeah. It reminds me a lot of like the first time I saw Jennifer Lawrence in a movie where I'm like, wow, she is so good. Winter's Bone. Wow, you just totally made that dirty.
I try.
She's just very good, and she's very fun to watch. The ultimate con is kind of meh. The story just does not completely line up for me. Once it all plays out, there's actually one scene where I go back to it, and for me, it kind of makes the cards fall, so to speak. But directors Glenn Ficarra and John Requa, they did a pretty sleek job. It looks good. They made most of the grifting really exciting. There's a lot of quick mobility. There's a lot of quick moves, and I was very impressed with how they shot it. It's just the story doesn't ultimately pan out. Thankfully, movie's saved by two of the sexy-ass people, and they are entertaining as possible. Smith and Robbie kept it all in focus. So if $10 is full price of admission, I give it $6.
So you're saying it's pretty much worth it just to see the two of them in the movie?
Yeah, I'm saying they're that good. It reminded me a lot of keep in mind, I'm not saying they are as good as Cary Grant and Grace Kelly. I'm saying that they are smooth together. They're extremely charismatic people, separate as well as together. And the movie is good enough to where it flows, but it's not good enough to where it takes that next step to a great movie. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's a fun movie. It's just the story doesn't necessarily pan out, but it's still fun. Still fun.
I did not. Are you? I'm totally ignorant on this. Is this a remake that I wasn't aware of?
No, it's a new script, brand new story.
Okay. Well, you referenced a couple of older actors that...
Well, I mean, To Catch a Thief is an older movie about thieves, and it's kind of the same kind of back and forth, cutesy, flirting flow, and just similar in that respect.
Oh, gotcha.
If you would have saw the movie, you would have understood it.
Okay.
Secrets and Lies is a show that just came on ABC. I don't want to talk about it for longer than a couple seconds. It's Ryan Phillippe is a guy that finds the body of a young boy, and he becomes like the prime suspect in that boy's murder. He swears he didn't do it. Juliette Lewis is the cop that's basically trying to be David Tennant from Broadchurch and thinks he's definitely the murderer. So he spends a series trying to prove his innocence. It's like a 10-episode event series. I watched the first two episodes, and Juliette Lewis tries way too hard, but Felipe does a really good job. And I think the story is interesting enough to where I really want to see how it ends, how it ties up. Check it out. It's on ABC. It's got a Blu-ray and home video, Scott. Video on demand.
We got kind of a short list this week. Only two movies that are coming out on March 10th. The first is Night at the Museum 3, which, as we know, stars Ben Stiller as the character Larry. And this time, Larry spans the globe, uniting favorite and new characters while embarking on an epic quest to save the magic before it's gone forever. This movie also stars the late, great Robin Williams, Owen Wilson, Steve Coogan, Ricky Gervais, Dan Stevens, who was awesome in The Guest,
as well as
Rebel Wilson. So I've actually heard some good things from that one from one of our listeners, Vicky Calgaro. I went and saw it with her kids, and she said it was actually surprisingly funny. So definitely worth checking out.
Speaking of Dan Stevens, I just heard actually from Vicky on Facebook that Dan Stevens is going to be the Beast. I did not know that. That's great news because I love that guy. He was awesome in The Guest.
That's really interesting. Man, that movie is getting more and more interesting.
You did not sound convinced. You're like, that's really interesting, Aaron. You interrupted me, dick.
Next up, and I can't believe you're making me talk about this movie, but it's called Wolf Cop.
Yeah!
Wolf Cop. I'm not mispronouncing that.
He's a cop who's a wolf.
Okay, here's the premise. As a series of strange and violent events start happening,
oh, shit.
An alcoholic policeman realizes that he has been turned into a werewolf as part of a larger plan. So he investigates with the help of his partner and his friend. But wait, it gets better. The tagline for this movie, and I'm not making this up, is "Here comes the fuzz."
I think it sounds fantastic, especially he realizes he's a werewolf. How the fuck? It just came up one day. Oh shit! I'm a werewolf.
How do you not realize, like, when it got like full moon and you know, went around and killed newborns?
My nails got really long, and I'm really hairy. What's going on here? Oh yeah, I'm a wolf cop.
We do have two other releases. The first two obviously were theater releases. The next two were video on demand. The next up comes out on March 13th as well. It's The Cobbler. This is that Adam Sandler movie we talked about a while ago. He plays a character named Max Simkin, who repairs shoes in the same New York shop that has been used in his family for generations. Disenchanted with the grind of daily life, Max stumbles upon a magical heirloom that allows him to step into the lives of customers and see the world in a new way. Sometimes walking in another man's shoes is the only way one can discover who they really are. We talked about this one a while ago. I really want to see this movie. I think it looks really good.
I do too. Yep, I do too. Definitely.
I'm stoked about it. Next up is this.
Click.
Wow.
Is that all you're thinking? Is Click? It looks good, man.
I'll be honest with you. I mean, when I first saw the trailer, I was like, all right, man, that's kind of cute. And then it's just like, after I've seen it again a couple of times, and I'm going, I must have been drunk whenever I watched that, because it just, I don't know, it just seems like we've seen this already.
Brian, there's a parade, and I'd appreciate it if you stopped raining on it. Get out. I want to see it. Scott wants to see it, and we're going to see it together. Well,
here's
in our
a tip. It ain't rain.
You're so fucking wrong. Rain. Let it go, Scott. Just move on. You don't want to know. Want to know.
Of all the people that would be crapping on this movie, you would think that it'd be me, because I'm not a big Adam Sandler supporter.
Well, I'm happy I can throw you off your game then.
Well, thank you very much. The next is the movie called Anarchy, and apparently now it's being changed to, how do you pronounce it?
Cymbeline? Well, I'm sure the Sons of Anarchy people said, hey, your movie is just like our show, and you called it Anarchy.
I kind of wonder if that had something to do with it, but this one has a pretty good cast, though. Stars Ethan Hawke, Ed Harris, Mia Jovovich, John Leguizamo, and Dakota Johnson. It's a gritty story of a take-no-prisoners war between dirty cons and an outlaw biker gang. A drug kingpin is driven to desperate measures. And there's a Shakespeare tie in this with this as well, correct?
Mm-hmm, of course, because it's pretty much a ripoff of Sons of Anarchy. Yeah. It was called Anarchy. I mean, you can't get more on the nose than that.
Yeah. It's kind of hard to argue with that.
I mean, at some point, Kurt Sutter, you know, the creator of Sons of Anarchy, was going to court, and they're like, oh, we're going to fight you. And he's like, how are you going to fight me? You named your fucking movie Anarchy. It's a total ripoff.
Yeah, Kurt Sutter takes it in the butt, so I'm pretty sure he can put up with anything.
Wow, you went there. Okay. Ooh.
Is that a spoiler alert?
Good Lord.
For not for him, no.
No, he's been there.
he's firmly understanding of what that means, yeah. All right, our From the Outside In topic this week, nostalgia. Are we going too far? With everything from our youth, hell, not even our youth anymore. I mean, everything's getting remade or brought back from the dead. Are we going too far? So the first question that's posed is from one of our listeners, Troy Heinrichs. And he asked, are we excited to relive our memories with, like, you know, Transformers, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, all this stuff that's being brought back? Or should they just be memories?
I'm totally for reliving those memories, guys. I feel like I'm in the minority of people that love to live in nostalgia. I don't care if it's movies or TV shows or video games or music. I love going back and having that feeling that when I was most that age when I was most impressionable.
Can you still have that feeling though? I mean, if it's new, like if they remade Back to the Future, would that really bring those feelings back for you?
Absolutely. For me, it would, because when I was a kid, I was happy to see any movies. I loved everything I saw, even if it was a crappy movie. I was enamored with seeing something beautiful on the screen and seeing these ideas brought to life that I couldn't see in real life. I was all about it. Now, granted, I was lucky enough to be able to do the movies that I was able to see were quality at a younger age, but there were also quite a few turds in there that, which is funny that I respect those turds. That's a phrase I never thought I would say before. I respect Same those here. Turds just because it brings back those good memories of when I was a kid. One of my favorite things to do when I scroll through Netflix or Amazon Prime or whatever streaming services we have is finding those crappy old movies that I haven't seen in years that I watched as a kid, and just to see if I still like it. And even though the movie isn't great, I still feel like a little bit of, man, that was how I felt when I was a kid, and it brings back those good memories, and I love it. So, like you said, even if I saw Back to the Future remade, there's no way I wouldn't go see it. Is it ever going to live up to the original? Probably not, but at the time, that was a new concept. Nowadays, it's a little bit different. You know, we've had time travel movies galore. You're not going to capture the same magic, but I'm still going to enjoy it. It's still going to remind me of the movie I saw when I was a kid, and hopefully somebody else is going to check it out.
I don't know, man. I keep thinking, like, Goonies is a movie I loved in 1985. It's 30 years old this year.
Such a good movie.
Yeah, such a good movie.
And still works. It still works. That's the key. It still works 30 years later.
And I'm thinking you bring back the original cast and you make a nostalgia movie, which is what a lot of people are doing these days. And you got Corey Feldman, you know, all burned out. And you got Data, who's, you know, who knows what he's doing. It doesn't seem, you got Fat Hobbit. I don't really think you got a movie that I want to see then. It's not going to bring back those memories of seeing a bunch of kids play and have fun. To me, it's kind of like, why? And now I just feel sad. I feel like, well, now I know how everybody turned out and all that childhood whim and mystery is all gone because now I know. Does that make sense, I guess? I mean, here's what I think. I think people often say they want these things. They want to see this cast reunited or something along those lines because they remember what it was like to watch it when they were 12, but they forget that they were 12 when they saw it. So you saw a ninja, right. You know, and I think that makes a difference.
I mean, let's face it. Most of these actors, I mean, to kind of take your Goonies reference, I mean, they're like, what, 40 plus at this point?
Mm-hmm. Easily.
You know, I mean, it really kind of harkens back to my argument about a couple weeks ago about Sigourney Weaver in the Aliens.
Well, you just can't stop bringing that one up, can you?
Well,
that's 3 weeks in a row.
But you just pretty much made my point for me.
Thank God, because we don't need to hear it again.
So if you're redoing something, I don't need to see the whole cast. I would rather see whatever, if it's being redone or, you know, maybe if it's a continuation, like, okay, Goonies, whatever, maybe they have a reunion or something. And then maybe they're, while they're at a reunion, their kids venture off into some equally crazy, you know, dilemma.
I like that idea a lot, actually.
It's basic, but yeah, you know, that explains Scotty's fascination with it. But anyway.
Yeah, I'm young. It's all good.
Just kidding. But I mean, you know, all right, fine. But I don't need what bugs me with these types of remakes and stuff is the gratuitous, okay, here's our nod to the past.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to, I want to see more. Just forget the past. I know it's
or a clever spin on the past, like 22 Jump Street had a nice little aside right. with Johnny Depp's character, and that was great. That was,
and if you that was smart. It, you were like, yeah, I mean, when you finally found out who Johnny Depp was, you're like, what? You know, and that was brilliant. And the and Dust, what is it, Dustin Nguyen, the Asian guy?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you never saw him, but you saw him on TV in the background,
right?
Brilliant. They worked everybody in there, and that was a good way of doing that, to where they didn't diminish from what was happening in the forefront of the movie, but they did
stop the movie and say, look, this is the guy you remember. Don't you love him? He's great.
Right.
Like that.
And I mean, even Starsky and Hutch even kind of did it pretty good, where they, at one point they meet the original Starsky and Hutch from the TV
yeah,
show.
I remember so, that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was like, you know, all right, well, cool. You got to work them in there at some point. That was kind of neat, you know, and then, but that's really about it. So I don't know. To me, they should just be memories. Don't drag them out, because it does look sad.
It does. Here's the way that I prefer it. When they bring back the original cast and try to make a movie 30, 20, 15, 10 years later with the same cast, those rarely work for me. I mean, take Indiana Jones, Crystal Skull. I wish that movie would have been great. It obviously, they were just past their prime. I was stupidly disappointed in that movie. But I love seeing it with my mom and kids because, you know, at least we had that connection factor. But I was just kind of sad watching it when it was over. Now, you take a property like Transformers or Ninja Turtles or something like that, and you put it into something that it's never been before, which is, you know, Ninja Turtles is all CGI.
A good movie.
Ninja Turtles is all CGI. The Transformers movie, I like the first one a lot.
And, I did too.
And you make those, that's like a different spin on it. So it's kind of like something new and kind of going back. It's back to the old, but it also is something new. I like that. I think that those work great or good. Now, it's the sequels, you know, they hit and miss. But for the most part, I think that kind of stuff works well. Just don't. Like Brian said, Brian nailed it exactly. Stop doing too much stuff stuck in the past. But you like it, Scott. Why do you?
I do, because I'm gonna get into it more later. I'm trying not to.
Look. All right, Scotty. Why not just? I tell you what. Why don't I just make an episode where the cast reassembles on a stage and we have Oprah interview them for 45 minutes.
That's boring. And have
them.
Watch Oprah.
And have them. God damn it.
Finish
fucking
your
dealing with mental fucking midgets here. Just have them look, just have them assemble in some sort of forum, whatever tickles your freaking entertainment fancy there, Twinkle Toes, and say, all right, get them together and reminisce and show clips and all that stuff, and have them, you know, say, oh yeah, you know, this is great. You remember this then? Yeah, that was great. Blah, 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 blah. And have all that happen on a TV show separate from whatever property is being remade.
It's not nearly as fun for me.
Why not?
You said yourself that you can't watch, it won't take you to the same place that it took you 25 years ago.
Because it's not going to ruin the experience for me. It's not going to ruin my initial experience. You're watching
new actors with a new story, with a new spin on some sort of basic thing, but you're still going to get the same.
I'm not going to get the same enjoyment. I was 14 when that movie originally came out, or however, whatever age I was. There's no way to like relive that exact feeling I had when I was a kid. It's impossible. There's no way. So the best I can do is kind of tap into a little bit of how I felt when I was a kid while experiencing something new at the same time and getting in a newer audience that may not have experienced the same movie that I had when I was a kid, and being able to experience something and have some kind of shared experience with somebody with the younger generation. That kind of stuff gets me excited.
It does.
Okay.
It does make sense. I'm not saying I agree with it for me personally, but it makes sense why you feel that way.
Yeah. I know you guys all hate old young people, so.
Dude, you're not that much younger than, you're like no, 6 or 7 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, now I'm not that much younger than you. This whole time, the past 200 episodes, whatever we've been doing, you know, yeah, well, Scott's a young guy.
I've never said that.
A few hundred episodes ago, we were in our mid-30s.
There you go. Things change, brother. Things change.
Now all of a sudden you're Clint Eastwood and like, get off my lawn.
I'm Clint Eastwood in Gran Torino, bitch.
Exactly.
Every week, Scott comes out, and I don't even know if anybody's ever called you the young guy. I think you're the only one that really says it. You just like to emphasize the fact that you're younger. That's all it is.
Well, it was a couple months ago, but yeah, I got gray hair now. It's kind
good.
Of scary.
Good. I'll teach you how to correct it. Of the properties that have already been brought back, do any of...
Lesbian color your hair?
What's that?
Didn't a lesbian color your hair?
Yes. Random fact of the day. Of the properties that have already been brought back, any of them really click with you, or did they tarnish any of your memories, Brian? Either way?
The one that really kind of stands out is the most recent remake is Casino Royale.
Mm, so good.
You know, it really eliminated the cheesy, gadgety, you know, Kingsman Secret Service type fun, and made it and just a full on visceral action movie. And Daniel Craig was, who I was already a fan of, just was like, bam, this dude is rocking as James Bond.
Mm-hmm.
And that just was like, made me forget, you know, everybody just about for a little while anyway, that's ever played James Bond. And I think that's just really the one that stuck with me was because that, you know, with that movie, it was just like, this is James Bond. And I'm not comparing him to anybody behind, you know, that's come before him. This is his movie.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of what stuck with me about that, you know, as far as remakes or rehashing of older stories, what have you.
What about you, Scott?
I feel the same way. Casino Royale was, well, it's not fair for me to say this because I didn't see the original. So
you lucked out.
The original Casino Royale. Was that bad?
The original Casino Royale was a comedy. So, yeah.
Okay. I wasn't sold on Daniel Craig as Bond. I mean, granted, I didn't grow up with Sean Connery and the others as Bond. To me, Pierce Brosnan was Bond just because that's what I grew up with. And I was like, there's no way nobody's going to play a cooler, suaver Bond. This guy
and you played the
pretty.
Hell out of some GoldenEye, didn't you?
I did. Absolutely. I was not convinced that Daniel Craig was going to be able to pull this off, and holy cow, he did. He made an awesome Bond. He was suave, but also badass at the same time, but real, where like the other Bonds felt just, I don't want to say mechanical, but just felt very, very written into their roles.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel Craig felt like he kind of expanded that a little bit and made it his own, and I appreciate that so much. Love that movie, and oh, so many good scenes in that movie. We talked about that on the Ho Group a little bit, actually, as well.
The A-Team. I love the A-Team remake or reboot, whatever the hell it was, with Liam Neeson and Bradley Cooper and Charlton Copley. That was so much fun. And it actually, one of the rare occasions where it brought back all the nostalgia because they hit all the beats they needed to hit. You know, they just nailed it because that show was ridiculous. You know, they got their personalities right. They got the fun parts of the movie right. It's too bad it didn't make enough money for a sequel, but I don't care. It's still a great movie. Really dug the Friday the 13th, the stab at the Friday the 13th reboot. I like that.
Really? I thought, in my memory, you didn't like that, but you dug it?
See, I liked it.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, I thought it was really good. And unfortunately, it made $4 less than what they wanted, so they've been delaying the sequel forever. But I really like that reboot. They did a pretty good job.
Friday the 14th?
Yeah. And then
there was a movie called Saturday the 14th, yeah, which was horrible. A spoof.
Bad.
Like in the
bad.
Bad. Bad.
Bad. And then there's shit like A Good Day to Die Hard, which almost makes you want to forget all the movies that came before it. And the Smurf movie and Miami Vice the movie and stuff like that. Things that just did not work. Miami Vice, I used to call that.
Whoa, wait a minute.
Whoa, what?
I like Miami Vice the movie.
I disagree with you.
It's heavy. It's dark. It's
stupid.
There's very little dialogue in it, but
or plot, or story sense, or logic. There's a lot of handlebar mustache, though. There's a lot of that.
Now you're just being nitpicky.
It's just not.
It does have some very hot Colin Farrell and Jamie Foxx, and it is. I mean, it's not all pastel shoulder, you know, blazer, shoulder pads with blazers and, you know, no socks and little strappy shoes.
It got none of the aspects of the actual show right. And for me, that's where nostalgia.
Would you have watched it if it was a bunch of pink flamingos and little t-shirt, you know, tank top, you know, coral colored t-shirts with a, you know, a seafoam green, you know, shoulder padded.
It would have been much better than that travesty because that was a shit movie. Just long and boring and bland. And Colin Farrell was bad. So, and not bad. That's not fair. He was bland. He had no charisma. He had no chemistry with Jamie Foxx. The mustache thing was stupid and not fashionable and didn't make sense. And it just didn't work. And I've had people actually tell me, well, you just didn't get it. I'm like, it's not a movie you can't
get. How do you not get Miami Vice?
It's not hard to get it.
That's not like, you know, yeah, it's not you a high concept.
It's
like you didn't get The Fountain.
Oh, That makes sense. At least I can have that debate with somebody. But somebody actually told me that one. Well, you just don't get it. No, I get it, Chief. It's just not my. I just didn't like it.
Here's what happens, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. And this is what happens. Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, I get it. It still sucked.
Hey, while we're talking about ones that we kind of liked, does Planet of the Apes count? I know not the Mark Wahlberg one, but the recent ones.
Yeah, that's a play on nostalgia because
if you want to get stabbed, it counts. What?
I'm sorry, I like the newer ones better than the old.
You
ones.
Like it? Okay, all right. Just making sure.
Oh yeah, I that's why I said I'm still in the good.
Okay, we're in the good. All right.
Yeah.
Please continue.
Because again, this is one of those where I watched the newer ones before I watched the older ones. Man, I watched the older one after watching both of the newer ones, and those movies are hard to watch, man. The rubber masks, yeah, just...
They are. I get it.
The
first couple I can watch fine, no problem. I mean, I take into account that it was 40 years ago.
The first one doesn't bother me at all.
50 years ago, almost. I mean, it doesn't bother me because I can put myself in a place to say, okay, look, we've come a long, long way since that time. And when you take into account, you know, the type of special effects that were going on at the time, they're still very impressive. I mean, they've got rubber faces that are moving up and down in concordance with whatever dialogue is going on.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
It's pretty impressive, but yeah, of course there are some details with stories and plot points that are a little bit weird and maybe unbelievable, even with a suspension of belief type of thing going on when you watch these types of movies. But that being said, whatever. Let's move on.
Well, what are you least excited about Hollywood bringing back? They're bringing back tons of stuff. What are you least excited about?
I'm being totally serious when I say I don't have any movies that I'm unhappy about making a comeback. Honestly, even if the movie's not for me, I'm always hopeful that a younger generation is going to see a remake of a movie and have that desire to come back and see the original. Even if that movie sucks, I want them to like see this and be, hey, I like the idea of this, but maybe it didn't work so well. Let me go back and see the movie. And if that's what takes them to go back and see the original movie that might be better, then I'm excited for it. So I honestly don't have a single one on this list.
Really?
I really don't. I did some searching and I could not find one that I was like, man, there's no way that movie should not be happening. No.
How about Jem? Jem the movie? You want to see that one?
I have an idea. Well, I have no connection to that property. I never watched the cartoon as a kid. So, I mean,
all right.
Why shouldn't it be? Why that's promoting Girl Rock Band as far as I'm concerned. If it's good, why not?
Okay. Brian, what about you? Do you got any that you don't, you are like new?
It's funny you mentioned Jim because that was on my list. Golly, I don't, Ghostbusters, I'm scared about. I hate to say it. I'm nervous about Ghostbusters. It almost feels like what's going on with Ghostbusters is being forced. In the last 6 months, it just feels like they're going, okay, we're finally going to say we're going to do this movie and we're going to force it. We're just kind of forcing it out. Here's what we're doing. We're doing it with women. Okay. All right, fine. Whatever.
Ghostbusters. I agree with you. It's just one of those things where I worry very, very much. And I think most people that are fans of it are worried. So we'll keep our fingers crossed and hope something pans out. A lot of people are really skeptical about that one.
Yeah, it feels crammed. It just feels rushed. You know, and we've waited so long for it to be, drawn out. And, you know, there's been all this hesitation with moving forward with it because they wanted to make sure the property was done right. And now all of a sudden it feels like it's on the fast track and being rushed. And I think that's really the main point I was getting at.
Absolutely.
I agree.
I would say, well, I said Jem, He-Man, they're doing another Masters of the Universe. I just think He-Man's a thing for the 80s. I don't see any reason to bring it back, but they're going to, no matter what I say.
How do you do He-Man?
You just make it like a Conan the Barbarian and try to make it all dark and edgy.
That wouldn't be good. He-Man was good because it was cheesy.
I don't know. They're going to try it. And GoBots. Because Transformers is successful, they're going to do GoBots now.
No.
That's
are
it.
They,
yes.
Seriously?
Yep. Got to have some GoBots, brother. Got to do it.
Is it going to be done by like Michael Fay?
Uwe Boll.
Oh, on the flip side, what do you think could actually benefit from another coat of paint? Like something you would like to bring back?
I want to see a current version of Innerspace, and not even a comedy version. I want to see like a legit, real version of Innerspace where some people hover, craft some kind of machine to go inside of the human body or animal body or whatever. That I love that concept.
Hey, can we have Dennis Quaid come back?
No.
Yes.
Yeah.
Fuck you,
as
nostalgia boy.
That oversees the project, not the guy that actually goes inside the people.
Exactly. See, Brian's got it figured out.
He's the one that created the program that sends, I don't know, Liam Hemsworth into
that's a really
Whoopi
tall
Goldberg's
guy.
Body or something like that. Whatever.
You got half a great movie. Half
Sorry.
A great movie.
Just freaked myself out with that one.
I love Innerspace so much.
But you say you're a nostalgia guy, but you don't want Dennis Quaid in it. Fuck you,
no,
Scott.
I don't want Dennis Quaid because you want him there.
You're that's a hypocrite.
No, not even remotely. I just because Aaron likes Dennis Quaid. That's the only reason I don't want him in there.
It's not even a remote issue. You're very close to the matter. You're a hypocrite.
What about you, Brian? What do you want brought back? He wants Innerspace. What do you want?
All right. I want one of – it's one of the classic movies of all time. Anybody, any cinema file, whatever, if you've seen this movie, it's on your top five, and that's Seven Samurai.
Okay. Not in my top five, but it's good.
I think it's one of the top five most important movies of all time.
That's a bold statement.
I didn't say
brother.
Necessarily my it happens to be on my favorites list. I just think it is one of the most important movies of the of all time.
I think that needs to be next week's topic. What is the most important movie of all time?
Oh, that's a right. that's a real
Yeah,
that's a sensitive subject, man.
That's what makes this a great topic. What's important to you,
exactly,
Scott? What's important to the listener? Is it social issues? Is it race? Is it sexual preference? Is it blowing shit up like a motherfucker? Bam! Is it comic books? What does it matter? Mm-hmm. Is it something that is it special effects that sets a landmark that says, okay, bam, this is the standard from here on.
I like this.
Can I give two more?
Fuck, Justin. God damn it. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Go ahead.
I have two more that I think need a fresh coat of paint. Movies that I love so much, but I think need a reboot.
Okay.
The first is Hook.
I think, I didn't really like the first movie.
There's a TV version coming out here in like, I don't know, a month or two.
No, there's Pan. Pan is coming out. It's a movie. It's got Hugh Jackman.
Oh, that's right. We had Cowbell Guy doing the TV thing a couple months ago.
Cowbell Guy. No, I love Hook so much, but that movie looks awful. It looks like a stage play. It really does.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing with my third one, which is Princess Bride. A movie that I love.
That's dangerous territory, my friend.
I love that movie, but you watch that movie now, every set on that looks so fake. Everything looks
I take that into account. It's one of those things. I take that into when I watch that movie, I just assume the backgrounds are not really in some far off island. I just assume that long distance shoreline in the background is really just a giant canvas that's about 4 feet from Cary Elwes. I do. I don't care. I make no bones about it. I don't want that one done.
I got you.
But here's where I differ is I want.
Here's where you're wrong is the translation.
No.
Just kidding.
I want people of the current generation to have the same experience I did, and they're not going to have the same experience if they see that crappy set.
I don't think the one thing about nostalgia is I don't think you can ever, ever duplicate the same feeling that somebody had with any property.
No, but you can get close as you can.
I've never, ever seen it get close to whatever people held dear in that original property, whether it be TV, movie, cartoon, whatever. I have never I cannot recall anybody approaching whatever that feeling was with the remake or reboot or whatever. Can you? Can you name one?
No.
I can't. Absolutely.
You're talking about two different eras.
We're talking about nostalgia.
You're making his point, Scott.
Yeah, exactly. You said that you want somebody to approach that same feeling, and I'm saying it can't be done. It would have to be a totally new feeling, but it won't approach whatever that original one was for whoever.
The Princess Bride has a feeling behind it that has like this princess, prince. There's a feeling behind the movie that you can come across with better special effects that maybe make it more believable, better sets.
I am
what? Somebody stab somebody better? Somebody fakes like they're choking on poison more? What?
I have a hard time.
Because there's not a lot of special effects in that movie that you need to make it. That is part of what makes that feel like a, because let's face it, the whole premise of the movie is a story that is being read from the grandfather to the son or to the grandson. It lends that fake background and everything. It really lends to that. This being a story that's not really going on. It's not history. It's not, it's not a historical event or nothing like that. This is something that is a fantasy story that is being read to a child.
Yeah, but you're actually looking at it from our
lends
perspective.
To that.
You're looking at it from our perspective, from our imagination, what our imagination was like when that movie came out. kids' imaginations are a little bit different. They think differently. They don't even think fantasical anymore outside of like The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings and that kind of thing. They don't think
fantasy. No, we're not talking the never-ending story here. We're talking, we're talking of, it's a pseudo.
Here's what I'm trying to say, right? I've been trying to say since Brian cut me off about eight times. The nostalgia factor. He gets my
blood boiling every now and then. All right.
I got you. The nostalgia factor is very, very hard to reproduce. So what you saw, what the nostalgia that you feel or the feeling you felt when you first saw it, it will not be duplicated with today's effects or anything else because the movie, it doesn't matter what the effects are. Cary Elwes, you're not going to find another guy that's exactly like him. Mandy Patinkin, Chris right. Sarandon, Christopher Guest, all those people, Andre the Giant. There's nobody alive that's like these people anymore. In that moment, at that time, representing the role that way. It'll be something completely different. Maybe it'll be really good, but it's not going to replicate that feeling. And the flashy effects, I mean, it's. I think people put too much stock into special effects. A movie, a classic movie or a classic property is special because of all the elements, the lightning in a bottle that happen with that specific property.
It doesn't have to be special effects, though, is my point. That what made The Princess Bride such a great movie wasn't the special effects, obviously, because
it was the actors.
The actors the script, sold that
the director.
Movie.
It was all the things that happened at that moment, at that time. You will never reproduce it. I've never seen anything come close. And I'm asking you, give me an example of anything that's been remade, rebooted, whatever, that approached that same feeling you had. Can you name one thing?
Well, that's not a fair statement because
you're it is not a fair statement.
It's no, because you're not going to ever you're talking about a product that's going to give me the same experience as someone that's going to give someone now the same experience.
No, I'm saying, have you ever seen something that approached that same feeling that was a remake, reboot, whatever? Brian, I think it's a fair statement. Do you?
Here comes the dick punch.
Seriously, do you think it's a fair statement?
It's a totally fair statement. I'm way on your side on this one.
I'll even give you a week to think about it because it's not fair to put you on the spot like that. So next week, come back and tell me one property that matched your...
No, I'm telling you, there's not one because I was a different person than I was 20 years ago. I've had completely different life experiences.
You keep making his point.
That's what I'm saying. That's not what you're saying. I'm agreeing with you. Listen to me. I personally am never going to have the same experience that I had 20 years ago that I had now.
Have you ever thought about a career in politics, Scott?
And I don't want to have that same experience. I want
you've been saying first. You do want that same. You want to as close as I can possibly get.
No. I want to have as close as the experience that I can and have that experience with someone else new. I want someone else to have the same experience I did and be able to have a relation with that person that had the same experience. And the best thing I can do is have a remake of a movie that we both have seen. I saw the old one. He saw the old one. He or she saw the old one. And we can have that same connection. That is what makes me happy, is someone younger that I can be like, I saw this movie when I was your age. You saw this movie now.
I think what you want is showing, for lack of a better term, a child or a younger person that uh-huh. maybe has not experienced a specific movie. Forget The Princess Bride. Just put in movie from blah 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 time frame that blah 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 had an effect on you. Mm-hmm. And you say, okay, you know what? This is a good movie. This is one of my favorite movies. For whatever reasons, sit down and watch it. And if they, and if they appreciate that movie in a similar fashion, doesn't even have to be the exact same way that you did. Then that's what you want. That's what you want. But you want that with a current movie with, CGI and whatever. Pretty faces are current at the time of the filming. And so you're not going to get that. I don't care. I just don't care who it is, what property it is, in which combination that you want to put them in. You're not going to get that.
I get what you're saying.
Okay. Well, I think we've hammered this one back and forth quite a bit. Can I have one? can I have the floor? Simon and Simon is a property I would love to see reinvented. That's
oh god,
do you remember that?
Yeah, I'll let you know what the best thing about Simon and Simon was
Gerald McRaney.
Wait, no, never mind.
That was a great show.
Never mind.
No, it was a great show.
I take that back, because what I'm thinking when you said Simon and Simon was Riptide.
No, so
I was thinking about was a giant helicopter with a face painted on the front end.
I did like that too. But Simon and Simon's about the brothers who are private investigators. They had nice back and forth. I just think that would be something I would like to see redone. And Night Court, my favorite comedy of all time. It's one of those shows. There's nothing on TV that is as remote batshit crazy as that show was. Where, I mean, every week the stories made no damn sense.
But they were believable. That's what made it fantastic. Because you're like, it's New York. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. They're in fucking court. Of course, there's, you know, some weirdo dressed in a tutu who got arrested for, you know, I don't know, peddling, well, at the time, probably, you know, cassette tapes out of the back of his van.
It was a very crazy, insane show. I would love to see that brought into the new era. But it won't happen, but I'd like it. That's the only one I could think of.
That would be boring as hell, man.
Why?
If you knew what went on in, like, actual Night Court.
I do know what goes on in real court, but the show itself, I'm not saying make it realistic. I'm saying as wacky and insane as that show was.
Look,
and
just one of the hottest shows on CBS right now, Scott, is Scorpion, which is about this Irish guy who happens to look very Middle Eastern. Who has no Irish accent at all.
You're really focused on this Irish thing. What does that have to do with Night Court? Are we getting there?
What's funny is that it harps about this, I was taken from my Irish home as a kid from the CIA because blah, 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 about all this Irish stuff. And it mentions, you know, his specifically Irish background. And the guy looks Irish none at all.
Okay.
At all.
Are you going
so you don't
somewhere
need like realism oh to make it entertaining.
Now we understand. Because we were kind of like, what's Brian talking about? Which we have a lot in the show, but
yeah,
this was very specific.
You hang with me long enough, I'll get to a point.
If you're willing to wait it out, yes. You eventually will get to a point.
Oh, God.
One thing I want to ask people that are listening, if you are fans of nostalgic stuff, people that bitch about like how dumb Transformers and Ninja Turtles and stuff like that are now when they see those movies, I want you to please, the next time you're going to criticize those properties, please go back and rewatch your cartoons of youth, because they're just as dumb then. So I really will never understand that issue with people. That's just something I did want to bring up. What about some listener thoughts before we go on to emails? Scott Calgaro says, mine covers both TV and movies. We asked what have been your favorite or least favorite stabs at reinventing the wheel. The A-Team was my absolute favorite show as a kid, and the movie adaptation was brilliantly done. The casting was perfect, and the movie captured the feel of the original without being too campy or trying too hard. Jonathan Spears says, I'll keep it horror-related. I was one of the few people that really dug the remake of Friday the 13th. On the other hand, Rob Zombie's Halloween 2 was abysmal. Jonathan, you and I were simpatico. Absolutely. Michael Pippett. Now, this is interesting, Brian Scott. He says The Sopranos. In a real way, it introduced the anti-hero on TV that has been repeated so many times since then. The Shield, The Wire, Justified, Boardwalk Empire... He said Broadwalk. I assume that's where you just pick up chicks from the 50s or something. The Wire, Justified, Dexter, The Nick, the list goes on, and they all have the roots in The Sopranos. Does that make sense?
Nope.
It kind of makes sense to me. I understand what he's going for. Anna Marie Germa says, I have to give props to J.J. Abrams for the new Trek films. Wonderfully done. David McGrath, Sam Raimi's Spider-Man pretty much ushered in the new era of superhero films after Batman and Robin almost killed the genre. Troy Heinrich, what are you...
Whatever. Whatever. Your Raimi love is very, very blind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It actually was the first $400 million superhero blockbuster, so it kind of makes sense what he's saying.
Well, there wasn't, you know, there wasn't a whole lot of superhero competition to really go.
That's kind of what his point is. Ushered in the new era. That's what he's saying. I'm not saying, I'm just saying. Troy Heinrichs, well, I thought Transformers ruined my memories of the cartoon, but I would give anything to see a live action Voltron or Thundercats. Just no Michael Bay.
Ho!
That's your Thundercats impression?
God, we need some Thundercats.
Just because of the name alone. Ho.
Exactly. I got it. Thank you. Steve Peterson says, favorite Star Trek, a series I could never get into until Abrams made it awesome. Also, hopefully the new Twin Peaks. Least favorite, the new Ghostbusters. Eek. Shane Owens, when it comes to nostalgia and film...
Shane Owens.
Thank you. I'm usually fine with bringing it back to life if done right, like the A-Team, but please, God, please, Hollywood, stay away from trying to bring back The Cosby Show.
What? Is that... That's not happening.
No, but I think it's a pretty funny joke when you think
about it. Yeah, it is? Okay.
Yeah. 21, Craig Schermerhorn says 21 Jump Street as procedural rather than comedy. Original series dealt with some heavy topics. I would watch that. Show is nostalgic for many, I would think. Okay. Now let's go to emails. And let's start with, well, before we get there, remember we have a Facebook group. You can find the link in the show notes. You can like us on Facebook, facebook.com/TheHollywoodOutsider. Review us on iTunes. We'll read your review on the show. Brian, Scott, you both have an email. Brian, you want to go first?
Yeah, sure. This is from one of my favorite people I love to get emails from, Sue. She says, congratulations on the nomination. I'm so proud of you all, truly and sincerely. I'm so pleased and totally not surprised by your success. I'll be voting every day. Just everybody out there, take a note from that. Mm-hmm. She says, your 2-hour cast a few weeks ago got me all the way through a half marathon. It was over before I knew it. I can think of nothing else that would make my time fly like y'all do. Oh. I love how she used y'all. Anyway, she says, throw in a 4-hour cast in a few months, would you? I pay in whiskey. Ciao, babies. Sue. So
we'll see what we can do.
I mean, hey, look, I'll take payment in whiskey. Just saying.
I will. Yeah. Take it one shot at a time. One shot per hour. 15 minutes, I think. Scotty?
We got one from Stephen White. Stephen White says, first, Scott, I'm one of the few who enjoyed Terminator Salvation. It was not as good as 1 or 2, but a hell of a lot better than 3. I kind of agree with that one. And one of the main reasons I liked it was because of the almost complete absence of Arnie. And I'm also one of the few who liked the Sarah Connor Chronicles and was disappointed when it was canceled. I feel like the Terminator franchise would have been better if they got rid of Arnie. He's too old, and I was hoping that Genesis, however you spell it, would be his last one, but I guess that would not be the case now. Second, I disagree with Brian on Alien and Sigourney Weaver. I think her coming back to the Alien franchise will be great. I don't get the cringe factor like I do. I don't get the cringe factor I do when I hear about Arnie or Sly staying on to do more Terminator, Rocky or Rambo movies. These guys seriously need to stop. I don't think they know how to make anything else. And as opposed to Arnie or Sly, Sigourney is a talented actor. Mm. So, yes, bring on more Ripley. Third, just for you, Brian. Third, just for you, Brian. Frack, 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 frack.
I'm going to go kick a puppy right now.
Got to be one of the weirdest reasons for not watching a great show like Battlestar Galactica that I've ever heard of.
Yep, sure the fuck is.
Keep up the great work, Stephen White.
Because it's not so much that they say the word frack occasionally. It's like 20 times in any 10-minute segment that you watch of that shit fucking show.
It's a great show.
So yeah, it is not a great show. It is a great show. It sucks fucking balls. So take your Cylon fucking sorry ass robot dick sucking fucking selves and just fuck you.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's for you, Steven. That was from Brian. Scott and I are not part of
that.
Hey,
thanks for writing in.
Jesus, you psycho. All right.
That's I'll be honest. I wanted to, this is my frustration with it. And really, I know Steven. And so he knows how to take that.
Let's get there. All right.
But my frustration with that show is that they did just use that word excessively for somebody who was trying to get into the show and gave it a legitimate, honest shot. They used that word frack so much for me personally to where it became excessive and just trying way too hard. And that's where my disdain for the show really comes into play. So
nobody really gives a shit, Brian. Nobody cares.
Well, hey,
I'm just letting you know, we don't care. You're wrong. So,
dude, don't say that, man.
There you go, Justin. Way to go. Way to go, Justin. No, it's okay. Really. I'm sure. I'm wrong because I've got an opinion on something. Okay.
Oh, it got awkward. It got awkward. Oh,
he knows I was kidding, dipshit.
I know.
I do.
No, he knows.
No, I do. I do.
That's always my biggest pet peeve is to tell somebody their opinion is wrong.
Right. That's our go-to jab.
Yes.
When we disagree, you're wrong.
Yes.
I should try that with my friends. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
You'd have none other outside of us, so it's okay. Well, no, actually, I take that back. You obviously have way more than we ever gave you credit for because you won last week. I'm just saying.
Stay through the credits. We're not going to do
fucking bullshit.
Stop talking. We're not going to do outtakes this week. We're going to talk about Leonard Nimoy. So stay through. We're going to do that here in a second. Remember, go to thehollywoodoutsider.com. Tweet us at @H_outsider. Facebook.com/TheHollywoodOutsider. Our email is feedback@TheHollywoodOutsider.com. Listen and subscribe for free on iTunes. Listen on your Stitcher Radio app and give us a thumbs up if you do, and through our RSS feed. That's going to do it for this episode of The Hollywood Outsider. I want to thank Brian and Scotty for being here. Thanks,
You're
guys.
You're welcome, man. Thanks for having me.
And remember, the next time you go to the theater, buy popcorn.
And Scott, we're not having you anymore, all right? You're here. You're here. I mean, it's been almost, literally, this summer is like 4 years. You're here.
Yeah.
You're permanent standard operating procedure at this point.
Let's talk about Leonard Nimoy. Okay. And we're going to have, we're not going to be extremely solemn. If we want to have fun with him, we will, but we are going to respect the man's memory. You know, he is important to a lot of people. And I actually had this question come up from somebody who said, why are people making such a big deal about Leonard Nimoy? He only really played one character. Anybody want to take it first?
Well, as I say, it's a huge character. I mean, it is one of those characters that has had a major societal impact, a huge pop culture impact. People make references to, you know, to Spock, whatever Spockisms that they don't even realize that they're probably even making, especially, you know, maybe some of the younger people today. He is one of those people that has somehow endeared himself into pop culture and society and interwoven is, you know, somehow that, you know, it is. He's like Robin Williams in a way to where you miss him. Yep. Not just you don't miss Spock. You miss Leonard Nimoy. And it's about whatever you perceive Leonard Nimoy as, because from what I know, or the little bit that I know about him, he's pretty much been a fairly private fella.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't think he's been, you see him pop up in a show, a cameo here and there and that kind of stuff, but he's bit, as far as his private life goes, as far as I'm concerned, he's been a very private person over the last, you know, 30, 40 years. So it's somehow, even as private as he's been, he's still, you've got, I mean, he is Mr. Spock.
What do you think, Scott?
I have to agree. I mean, there's nothing else I've seen him in, but when he plays that role, he's one of those actors that, like, that is who he is. That role is who he is. And I don't understand why that's a bad thing. He was, nobody else can play that role to that caliber. Sure, Zachary Quinto has done a pretty bang up job in the recent movies, but he's still not Spock. He's still not quite there. He's almost there, but not quite. There's very few actors that you can say, man, he played that role and he played it so well in everything that he did, and he's so iconic. It's hard to top that.
That's the perfect word, is the iconic. You know, I think that gets thrown around way too much anymore. I mean, everybody's a hero and everything's iconic, right? That's just how everything is now. Bullshit. This man, NASA, took a picture of them doing the freaking Vulcan, what do you call it?
Not the live long and prosper symbol?
Yeah, the live long and prosper thing from space. I mean, that's saying, hey, we love you, Leonard Nimoy. You've got people in all different circles. I know people that have never even seen Star Trek that know that symbol with their hand, that V shape with their hand. Everybody that I know when I was a kid would try to do it, and they didn't even watch Star Trek. They didn't know why. They just tried to do it. You know, and
how many conversations had as a kid were going, I can't do it. And you just see them staring at their hand and their four fingers are wiggling in odd directions and going, I can't do it.
Exactly. Now, the original series, why it stood the test of time, it was a groundbreaking show. You had the first interracial kiss. You had, you know, showed communities coming together that, you know, man could lay down with green people and it's no problem, things like that. And Spock,
that was a problem before?
Yeah, yeah. We took care
green,
of it.
Green, not so much a problem.
Yeah, they were alluding to societal issues, and that's why the show was so groundbreaking. Now, Spock, the character, for me personally, the irony of his character was he's playing a guy that supposedly has no human emotion, and everything is logical. Yet, he embodies what we think all people should be. You know what I mean? And I think that's where he kind of established himself as a character that lived above the show. He wasn't a character on the show. He lived above the show.
I think it was even deeper than that because of his where he came from. He was half Vulcan, half human. There's a lot of family. There's a lot of kids that came from, especially at that time, where it was a new thing where you were half of one race and half of another, and people considered you an outcast.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the fact that he was able to do that without emotion and able to overcome that was, to some kids, a way to kind of overcome that, just kind of walk past it, turn the other cheek.
It was amazing what he did. So reasonable, so logical, yet he had those moments of humanity that just lifted him above. And a lot of people don't realize Leonard Nimoy was an accomplished artist. He was an accomplished director. He directed Three Men and a Baby, it's a classic movie, as well as a few other films. Now why... We just kind of talked about why he's so seen as an iconic actor / character. What did he mean to you personally, or what did Spock mean to you, if he was special to either one of you?
I mean, for me personally, I don't know if I had a specific emotional attachment to him, but it was, you know, he was, of course, he was Spock in the early TV series. Of course, Spock later in the hugely popular, Star Trek movies. But he was also, for me, he was the host of In Search Of, which was those mystery shows that in the early 80s, maybe late 70s, where they tackled such things like Bigfoot and the Loch Ness Monster, stuff like that. I don't know if any of you. Well, I know Scott probably hasn't seen them, but I don't know if you have.
Yeah, I used to watch it.
Yeah.
Oh, now I'm the young guy again.
No,
you missed it by a couple years. You missed it by a couple years.
He's just beloved. He's just that guy that's been there through all of my TV and movie viewing life.
He's one of those guys that you kind of imagine would never leave us. Mm-hmm. He's just always been there.
Even in Fringe, honestly, and I don't mean this just this disrespectfully. In the Fringe series, he looked like he probably should have been dead, like a few years ago. You know, just at least it's just. I mean, he really just kind of looked face sunken, you know, sunken in and stuff like that. And if you pay attention to the scenes, he's not really doing a whole lot in any of them. Mm-hmm. So they're really kind of milking out whatever they could out of him. But It's, you know, he's such an, he is an icon. If there is an actor that is, that falls under the umbrella of icon in the truest sense, it is Leonard Nimoy. And he's just one of those guys that you associate with certain aspects of entertainment, pop culture, movies, TV, and you have a certain expectation about him, and he hits those every single time that you see him, and he's going to be missed.
Anything you want to add, Scott?
Pretty much echoing what Brian said. I mean, he's one of those guys that I have a hard time believing that any current actors that I'm ever going to have the same feeling that I did about him. And I didn't grow up watching the TV show like a lot of people did. I knew him from the movies. I knew him just even though I didn't watch the TV show, I knew him, who he was. I knew the name Leonard Nimoy, and I knew Spock. They just coincided with one another. I have a hard time with even any actors in the past 20 years coming up with a name that, like, that person is that person. Even something like, man, God forbid, Mark Hamill as Luke Skywalker. I love that character, that kind of thing, but it just doesn't seem nearly as hallowed or special as Leonard Nimoy as Spock. There's something going to always be there behind him, that he was one of the originals that was a person that played that character, and that's it, and that's who he was. And I think there's something special behind that.
I think, when my personal opinion, in terms of Star Trek, I wasn't very close to my dad growing up, but the one set, there's like two sets of movies that I was able to bond with him over, and that's Alien series and Star Trek. I've never been a Trekkie. I'll never be a Trekkie. It's just generally not my thing, but for whatever reason, I love Spock. And the original series of movies I could always watch with my dad. So the movies are kind of special to me. And for whatever reason, that character is the only one that ever really jumped out at me. And go back and you watch the old series and everything. And I know, you know, people like Shatner and all of his crazy things that he does. But really, Spock for me is the absolute heart of the entire Star Trek franchise. And I think you take Spock out of all of that. You take Leonard Nimoy's performance out of all of that, and you don't have that. You don't have The Next Generation. You don't have all those. I don't think it's one of the rare occurrences of an, I don't know of another actor that could have played this role, nor done it with as much heart and dignity, and been such a graceful man. He seemed very giving to the artistic community, to the world at large. He just always seemed like a good guy. You know, he never seemed like he had the ego. He never seemed like he was arrogant or that he was an actor. He just seemed like he appreciated the people that loved him, and he loved them back to a degree. Mm-hmm. And that character just became larger than life, became bigger than the show. And it never went to his head. He never disrespected the fans. He kind of went the opposite way of Shatner. And I think that's why so many people love him. He's just,
You know, there's a lot. I mean, he would do a lot of conventions and stuff like that, to where, you know, he really endeared him. He knew what he was. You know, he knew that people knew him as Spock, and he embraced it. Unlike others, they try to break away from that label, and he embraced it and said, "Hey, you know what? I mean, I could be known for worse." So, you know, hey, if I got to be known as the pointier guy from Star Trek, so be it.
And David McGrath, he actually wrote a nice little quick piece, which we put on the website. You can go there and read it. He's a listener, but also he contributed this week. He asked the question, why do some actors' deaths hit us more than others? Any thoughts to that question? I mean, he has some good thoughts, so be sure to read that. But what do you guys think, Scott?
I mean, it comes down to those that connected with you most. I mean, shows that you watched. I mean, obviously, if you're not into sci-fi, you're not going to be attached to something like Star Trek. But those that listen to the show and those of us that are on the show, we're kind of attached to the sci-fi a little bit. But I would think that there's a lot of people that aren't even into sci-fi that still somehow are connected to Leonard Nimoy a little bit, because he was so iconic and he had such an impact on our society, whether culturally or entertainment wise. I mean, it comes down to how it affects you personally. Why you know, these people that we grew up with. Someone that, like, you didn't know them personally, but you almost felt like you had some kind of connection with them.
Mm-hmm.
It hits you when they pass. I mean, someone like Leonard Nimoy or Robin Williams. I mean, the list could go on. Kids that are when I was a kid growing up with these kind of actors, and they go, it's like, that's part of my childhood that's missing.
Brian?
I think the Kurgan said it best when he said, it's better to die out. What is it? Better to die out than fade away.
Something, I don't know. You're quoting them, so I don't. You should know.
Yeah, it's better to die out than fade away. Anyway, there's a lot of actors that really stick with us when they die young. I mean, you know, James Dean, Marilyn Monroe. You know, there's kids wearing Marilyn Monroe T-shirts and, you know, James Dean posters and that kind of stuff. I see them, and they've never, I guarantee, I would bet my next 5 or 6 paychecks that they've never seen a James Dean movie nor a Marilyn Monroe movie. They might know the name. At best, they will quote you the title of a movie that they've been in, at best. Otherwise, they just like, yeah, I hear she's kind of popular.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, but there are people that are icons. We get attached to them for whatever reasons, you know, whether it's we want to be them, whether it's maybe the role they played is something that hits us personally. That's why these people are, you know, doing what they're doing. And, you know, some of them connect with us a lot better than others. And when they do, it's special. So, well, I guess the good thing about this is that maybe, hey, we can kind of take solace and I'm not the only one. You know, it's been very endearing to see the just multitudes of different respective things being thrown out there. Anything from little artwork to sayings, to quotes, to, I think you even posted something, Aaron, a couple of scenes from Star Trek, or maybe behind the scenes pictures where they're all sitting around the table.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, William Shatner's the only one left, which is kind of symbolic. He's really the only one that's alive at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And it just kind of connect. I don't know. We're just drawn to them, and whatever the case is, for whatever personal reasons we have, we're drawn to them. So
I would say, in closing, different people, I think, connect with you on different levels for different things, actor-wise, celebrity-wise. You know, you've got Robin Williams, who I think many think of when they think of laughter. You've got, for everybody has personal ones. Harrison Ford, he makes me think of adventure and action. And then you've got Leonard Nimoy, who's the first actor that ever really made me think of looking up to the stars and what could be up there. And the fact that you have these people, these personalities, these characters that pass away, and you know that had an effect on you in whatever respect in who you are as a person. It's just like when someone in your family passes away, and it's a smaller piece than if they're really in your family, but a piece of you goes with them. And that's who Leonard Nimoy is. And I think that's a great thing that he can have that effect on so many people for what some people are terming as just another TV show. You know, it's not just another TV show. He's not just another actor. He really affected a lot of people and a lot of what they ended up doing with their lives. So that's very, very impressive. And with that, I think we're just going to fade out. Everybody, live long and prosper.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Her ongoing mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life forms and new civilizations, to boldly go where no one has gone before.